Good morning, everyone, and welcome. You are on the grid here on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy. Time to talk some Formula One first up. We've got a massive show coming up today. We've got Formula One's happening over in Austria. We've got the Shannon's Nationals happening up here in Sydney, which is where I am at the moment. And, of course, we've got the supercars and GTs and the like happening up in Townsville. We'll cover all that today. But so Pete McGinley's going to join us first to cover off Formula One's. Good morning, Pete.
Hey, Shebex. How are you, mate?
I'm very well, thank you. Beautiful day up here in Sydney. Has been a great weekend for the Shannon's Nationals. It's a bit dodgy up there over in Austria, though. I think they're considering that possibly rain could be falling this afternoon for the race.
Yeah, I think it's been raining actually quite a bit across the weekend as well. Perhaps not necessarily during the sessions, but overnight. It's been dodgy weather over there, so we'll have to see how it plays. And I'd love a wet race, to be honest. I really would. It would make things a lot more interesting.
Well, it's a real leveler, there's no doubt about it, the weather. And it has Valtteri Bottas starting from pole position this Austrian Grand Prix at the Red Bull Ring, his second pole of his career and second pole for McLaren. Behind him, Sebastian Vettel, they'll occupy the front row. That's a nice combination up front.
It is a good combination. It's good to see Bottas up on pole. I mean, he was never really going to be on pole position. Oh, sorry, Hamilton was never really going to be on pole position anyway because of the grid penalty that he's getting for the gearbox change. But certainly great for Valtteri to get his second pole of his career and second pole of the season. Great result for him, and I think that inter-team battle is sort of heating up a little bit now as well between the two Mercedes drivers there. And Vettel, of course, very close behind as well there. Only a few tenths of a second down, or a few hundredths of a second down on him, so it's quite good.
So we move to the second row of the grid, and as you said, Lewis Hamilton, he qualified in third place, but unfortunately for him, a gearbox change will send him back five spots, so he'll start from P8. So effectively, the second row of the grid will be Kimi Raikkonen for Ferrari and Daniel Ricciardo for Red Bull.
Fantastic result for, I guess, Kimi to get up to a third place on the grid there, but yeah, he's didn't quite perform too well. He was just sort of, I'd call relatively miles off Vettel throughout qualifying there, but he was lucky to get up to the position because of that grid penalty. Daniel Ricciardo, on the other hand, the Red Bulls seem to have been struggling a little bit, I guess, this weekend. They've had Haas particularly on their tail. Romain Grosjean, who spun off in qualifying, not spun off, but had an electronics problem, which saw his qualifying end and which saw the drivers in Q3 not able to actually set faster lap times. He was definitely catching up on him, and Romain Grosjean said that he could actually catch up to them and claim, and beat them and give them a real shake. So Red Bull, you know, they've had a history, particularly at the Austrian Grand Prix and the Österreichring, of not really performing well on the track that they own. So it's been a bit of a bogey track for them, but fourth place position for Daniel Ricciardo on the grid gives him a good chance. We'll just have to see how he goes, because, I mean, look, anything can happen in the race. If Baku's anything to go by, who knows? Daniel Ricciardo could finish on the podium again. We could see him doing a shoey again.
Well, we'll have a talk about that shortly because, that was definitely an interesting result for Daniel. The good thing for Daniel Ricciardo, though, this time around is that he's actually out-qualified Max Verstappen, his teammate, who will start from P5. And Max has been pretty strong in qualifying for the last few races, out-qualifying Daniel, I think, in the last four.
Yeah, he has. He's performed quite well. He was struggling in this qualifying session, though. He was struggling with a bit of oversteer. And, of course, he spun off as well as the same time as Romain Grosjean. Had issues with his electronics, so he would have been a lot higher up at the grid, I reckon. He would have out-qualified Daniel Ricciardo in this situation if he hadn't had that oversteer problem. But great result for Daniel there, and good for him to get one up on his teammate in qualifying. Let's hope he gets one up on his teammate in the race.
So Max Verstappen from P5, Romain Grosjean, as you said, from P6. Then we've got a couple of Force India cars, which is great to see them in the top 10.
Yeah, they seem to keep performing quite well. And, Sergio Perez winning that battle in 7th. Esteban Ocon in 9th position. Yeah, they seem to be the real improvers of 2017. But, I mean, I don't know about you, Shebex. They seem to have been the real improvers perpetually in their F1 career. But they just haven't had a lot of success, the Force India team. I mean, they've had maybe a podium finish here or anything like that, but they just don't seem to have had a lot of success. They seem to be just constantly improving. I mean, I don't want to talk them down, but they just seem to be constantly improving.
And Carlos Sainz will start from P10. Lewis Hamilton starting from P8, as we mentioned, due to that five-spot grid penalty. It was a really interesting qualifying session and probably an interesting weekend as well, in that a lot of cars, right from the Mercedes all the way down, have really struggled with either grip or understeer or oversteer, and it's just been really tough for these teams to set this car up for this 1.05-second lap.
It's a very quick lap, isn't it? I think it's one of the shorter laps of F1. Is it the shortest lap of F1, Shebex?
It's like racing at Winton, I think.
Pretty much. It's a very, very quick lap, and I guess it's been a bit of a bogey track for a lot of the teams. I mean, I called it a bogey track for Red Bull. Of course, they own it, but, you know, it's been interesting. A lot of teams have been struggling, and, you know, it's funny, understeer or oversteer. It's probably not the tyres, I guess. I mean, the tyres have been rock hard and rock solid throughout the whole season. Yeah, it's just been really interesting, a real bogey track, but it's good to see it's been a bit of a leveler, and I think it'll make the race certainly very interesting.
Well, especially if there's weather as well, as we predicted earlier in the chat. If that rain comes down, that'll make it even more treacherous for these cars, and we could see a couple of big offs.
Yeah, definitely. It's one of those tracks where you could see a lot of big offs. I'm predicting maybe turn 4 or turn 7 might be very interesting corners to have a look at for action. I mean, of course, turn 1 on the first lap, especially if it's wet. I mean, you don't want it to be too wet, though, do you, Shebex? You want it to be just wet enough that we don't need a safety car start. It's just the right amount of wet. It's not too wet, and we don't have to start under safety car or anything like that.
Exactly. All right. Prediction for this one?
Oh, look, I think we'll have another battle between Hamilton and Vettel there. I think it's going to be very quite interesting. I think, you know, if Hamilton can work his way up, we'll see a few more sparks. We'll have a bit of a interesting sort of race there. But look, I think Valtteri Bottas, if he can execute the start well, you know, if the conditions are not as wet as they're predicting, he could probably go on to win the race. But I think look behind for Sebastian Vettel and Lewis Hamilton's going to be very, very, very interesting, I feel. I think this matter is not really over. I mean, Vettel's escaped more punishment for his actions at Baku, but I think the battle between those two drivers, both for the championship and purely just on a rivalry level, it's not over, and I think we're going to see more fireworks, whether it's this race or the next race coming up. It's going to be very, very interesting, I think.
No doubt about that. Let's cover off a couple of things from Baku before we wrap it up. First of all, Daniel Ricciardo winning the race, fantastic for him. We both predicted, I think, something would happen when we spoke about the race 2 weeks ago, but I don't think we predicted that Daniel would get up from seventh.
No, certainly right. And, that was bizarre, but it was one of those really, really bizarre races, wasn't it? It's amazing. It was first called the European Grand Prix, and then you change it to the Azerbaijan Grand Prix, and it's suddenly a whole lot more interesting. So very interesting result there. It was good to see Daniel get up. He executed a couple of really good quality overtakes there. A lot that we've come accustomed to with Daniel Ricciardo. Performed really, really well. And it was very much unexpected, but a very delightful second position there for him.
Well, that move he did at the restart was just a spectacular move to get him into third place. And if he hadn't have done that, there's no way he would have won the race. He just did what he had to do when he had to do it, and it was just great driving.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, that is the driving class of Daniel Ricciardo. That is what you come to expect from him. And, yeah, he's cool, calm and collected. I mean, look, he does express his views and he does get a little angry under the helmet, but, you know, when he needs to crack the whip and get to it, he certainly, you know, puts the visor down and just gets on with it and makes the move happen and does it.
Secondly, the situation between Vettel and Hamilton, it's fairly prickly at the moment, I would think, and that's not unusual for Sebastian Vettel to have a prickly relationship with someone. He's had a few in his time. This was an interesting one. Your take on what happened?
Well, look, looking at the initial incident where the alleged brake test occurred, it almost appeared like that on the surface, but, you know, it's up to Vettel initially not to crash into the back of him. Obviously, the second manoeuvre where he's gone to swerve into him from the side was completely deliberate. That was not on, and I think he should have been really penalised harder than he was. I think he attended the FIA headquarters in Paris earlier in the week. Spoke with John Todd and basically committed to helping out with young drivers and improving driver standards there. And I think, you know, he's gotten off too lightly there. I mean, look, I think something should have been done in the race. I wouldn't have thought that it was a good idea to do it after the race, a week later, to retrospectively disqualify him there. But I think something certainly should have been done during the race to deal with the issue. I think the issue really more is to do with the stewards and consistency of the stewards. Maybe we should look at having full-time stewardships, you know, have more consistency of decisions and get these things dealt with better actually at the time.
Yeah, exactly. And one might think that if he wasn't a Ferrari driver, I wonder whether things might have been a little bit different from the attitude might have been a little bit different from the ex-Ferrari boss.
What, you're not calling a Ferrari international assistance, are you, Shebex?
No, I'd never say that.
That's
at all.
That's the letting people in. That's the.
I think I might have said around that, though.
That's the alleged acronym of the FIA, of course, completely untrue, but that's just one that's bandied around in these situations.
Yeah, exactly. Pete, always great to have you on board. Thanks, mate. Enjoy the Grand Prix tonight. We'll catch you again in a couple of weeks.
Thanks, Shebex.
Pete McGinley joining us here talking F1s. We'll take a break. Richard Crowell's right next to me. We're going to talk some supercars and Shannon's Nationals in just a tick. Welcome back. You are on the grid here on 1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy. Joining me here at the Shannon's Nationals at Sydney Motorsport Park. A beautiful weekend it's been. Richard Crowell, good morning to you.
Are you all right? I just need to check first. Are you okay? After last night, events at Etihad Stadium, I just want to make sure that you're okay.
Yeah, the good thing is that I've got pills that quickly erase those memories. Yes, if you're wondering what we should talk about, of course, he's having a gym at me after my footy team had a big loss last night. Thank you for that. Appreciate your memory.
I just want to make sure you're all right. That's the main thing.
No, I'm good. I'm good. And I'm ready to talk some motor racing. We'll talk about what's happening here at the Shannons first before we get on to what's happening up at Townsville. And we've got a really big weekend here. GT3 Cup Challenge, production cars, 4 1-hour races for them. It's been a pretty cool weekend.
It is. Weather's been magic, hasn't it? We don't have the 28 degrees they've got up in North Queensland, but 18 degrees yesterday, bright blue skies, bit of frost this morning, that'll burn off, it's fine. Yeah, cracking stuff and some pretty good racing yesterday, a couple of interesting one-hour production car races. Thought the GT3 Cup Challenge race was interesting for the Porsches, with young Jordan Love getting over the line for another victory there in the Jim Richards Endurance Trophy. But probably the prototype series, I think, might have been the race of the day yesterday. Really competitive stuff with those guys and a good battle between Mark Lauchie and Michael Schur at the end. So, yeah, good on-track action and should only get better today.
All right, so let's have a look at those first up. Well, let's talk about the prototype series. Ed, Mark Lauchie, always strong in those prototype cars.
Yeah, but hasn't had a real good season. He won championship 2 years ago, but this year hasn't gone to plan, had engine dramas at Winton, so didn't get many points. So he needed a big round. It's a halfway point of their series. He needed to score lots of points this weekend, and he started perfectly. He was dominant in Friday practice. Missed out on a run in qualifying to go for pole because of a red flag that came out. So he was on the second run of the grid, but raced his way to the front very quickly and then had a good battle with Michael Schur in the Radical, and it was a terrific race between the two of them. So a dominant win, probably aided by the fact that all of his championship rivals were down the field. So Phil Hughes had a spin on lap two and ended up the back of the field, raced his way forward tonight. Terry Pivetta started from the back of the field with engine dramas. Jason Macris got pole, led early, got stuck in sixth gear, dropped to the back of the field. So if you could have scripted it perfectly for Mark to get himself into the championship, that was it.
Yeah, certainly was. So good stuff. They'll do another race today. We move on to the Jim Richards Trophy, the Porsche GT3 Cup Challenge. And Jordan Love, he has been all conquering this year, hasn't he?
Yeah, and lucky, as it turns out, yesterday in that race. He didn't get a good start. He worked his way back to the front, having dropped a third on the opening lap. But, had a throttle cable dramas at the end of the race and very nearly broke the throttle cable on the last lap.
Well, it's down to two strands, they tell us.
Yeah, from a lot. So I don't know what the full number is on a Porsche 997 throttle cable, but it's more than two. Yeah, so he got lucky and ended up winning by a second after leading by 6.5, 7 throughout the race. So it wasn't a thriller, but it was a really interesting race, and there was some good battles throughout the field. So he won. Brendan Grove second, and Sam Sheehan crossed the line for third, but was pinged 5 seconds for rolling at start, as is often the case here at Sydney Motorsport Park. There's a downhill run to turn one, so you need 3 feet when you're trying to start, one on the clutch, one on the brake, and one on the throttle. It's difficult to do. Yeah, and for Sam, unfortunately, he missed out third place in the race by 0.01 of a second. because Gilbertson, Anthony Gilbertson, just jumped in when he got that penalty. So it didn't quite go his way. But interesting race. And they go from endurance mode yesterday to sprint mode today with a couple of short, sharp sprints. So should be good racing the Porsche boys.
So let's talk about the battle there between Jordan Love and Brenton Grove. It started a year or two ago in Formula 4. It's now continued into what we're seeing here in the GT3 Cup Challenge. Is it going to be a nice little rivalry for the next 10 or so years, I would have thought?
Well, it could be, and depending on where they go. But I know both have got designs on Porsche Carrera Cup Australia next year with a new car. So it could very well continue on into next season. And that'd be great. Brilliant. They're two great young kids. Different backgrounds, different levels of experience. Jordan's gone through the more traditional pathway of doing all the karting and that from a very young age, whereas Brenton didn't do much go-karting. He just sort of jumped into racing cars straight away, following in the footsteps of his dad, Stephen, who's an elite class winner in Carrera Cup. So different backgrounds, but they're pretty evenly matched. Jordan's probably got the upper hand at the moment, but he's at 19 or 20 or whatever he is. He's got more experience than Brenton, which is remarkable to have more experience at that age. But, good kid. Both good kids and really talented, and I think they'll go a long way.
Let's turn our attention to the production cars. Yesterday, 2 1-hour races. Yesterday, 2 1-hour races. Today, a nice little format for the production cars. And one of the characters of motor racing, Bob Pearson, took both.
Yeah, Bob Pearson, who's racing solo this weekend. Rick Bates is usually his co-driver.
Well, he was actually dumped by Rick Bates because Rick wanted to go go-karting with his son.
How selfish that Rick wanted a family time to not co-drive the Evo with Bob. Yeah, but Bob drove really well yesterday. Brilliant in the first race. Probably got a bit lucky in the second one because the Sharon Reynolds BMW was clearly the fastest car in that race. And they had to make an unscheduled pit stop to change a right front tyre. Tyre wear at this place is a bit like supercars at Phillip Island. You get to a certain point and then they fall off the cliff. Very high tyre wear here. So they were in position to win that race quite comfortably, but had to make another pit stop. So they ended up finishing P5. Bob Pearson won, interestingly enough, five different manufacturers in the top five. So Mitsubishi winning, Mercedes-AMG were in there, BMW, of course, and a bunch of others as well. So, good competitive race. Racing in the production cars, they're back for 2 1-hour races today.
In a great Sharon, they've got this BMW M4. It's just a beast of a car. They just can't seem to have any luck with it at the moment, can they? They had some shocking luck at Winton blowing an engine, and they just haven't got their head around it fully here yet.
Yeah, and they debuted that car at about 6 hour this year at Easter, and it was clearly the fastest car there by a considerable margin. But it's a brand new car, and it's production car racing, so it's put some safety gear and what you buy on the road and put it on the racetrack. So they're going through teething dramas that everyone who's raced production cars has had in a new car. If it doesn't win today, it's going to win a Queensland Raceway in 4 weeks or at the final round after that. There's no doubt. I mean, it's a rocket ship, that car, and the boys are driving it well.
Yeah, they certainly are. Got the Radicals are here also, their fourth round of the season. They head to Highlands for their fifth round, so a long time between drinks, but what a nice way to finish your season over there.
Yeah, off Tony Quinn's playground, South Island down there near Queenstown. Yeah, why not? Good stuff. They had a good race yesterday. Well, the last 3 minutes of a 50-minute race were great. The first 47 minutes were a bit flat, but really good battle, Peter Patton and Michael Shaw, who Shaw did a really good job in that prototype series race. He then backed up for the Radicals soon afterwards. He and Pete Patton had a good battle in the final three laps, swapped the lead a couple of times. Pete Patton ultimately got through, which was a really good drive.
Yes, Ollie Smith was the man that was the sort of the meat and the sandwich there for a long time. Then he had a spin on turn six with about 4 or 5 laps to go. That gave Shaw the opportunity to get through, and it was a real decent battle. But as you said, Peter Patton winning, and good for him. He keeps extending his lead now in the champion. The other thing we've also got racing here this weekend is the Veloci Alfa Romeo Challenge. Now, it's only a state-level category, but they've got 24 cars out there, and they've put on some good racing.
Yeah, so it's hard to explain if you haven't seen it, but just imagine a full field of old classic Alfa Romeos on the racetrack, and that's what it is, which is great. And 24 started, 22 finished. There were no fires, there were no oil leaks. It was completely anti-cliche Alfa Romeo. Hello to all the Alfa Romeos owners out there in sunny Melbourne. But it was good. It's a good little addition. I like that. You get some of the local state categories joining in the national round and get them a chance to run on a big stage and show what they're capable of. I like it. Way more.
And you know what the main thing is that they are so excited to be here.
they're over the moon, aren't they? And they put on a good show. It was a good race. And Tony Karofalski, Touring Car Masters races in there this weekend, having a crack, which is cool to see.
Enzo Piazza was the winner of the race yesterday, and he'll try and do it again yesterday after taking pole as well.
How many different ways did you guys in commentary yesterday say Veloce?
No, it's okay for me because I've got the Italian background. Darren Smith is an absolute shocker. He butchered 15 different surnames, anything to do with Italian yesterday. He just was shocking.
They'll come after him, won't they, next week?
I'd be concerned if I was him. I wouldn't be going down to Lygon Street. Especially, there was a guy called Gatto in the field who pulled out at the start of the race, and even Darren made a joke about that. I wouldn't be going to Lygon Street.
We haven't worked out if it's related or not yet, so probably just go benefit of the doubt and say yes and move on with life.
Take it easy, exactly. All right, so that's that'll continue today, the Shannon's Nationals. If you can't be here, and you probably can't because you're in Melbourne and probably a bit too late to book a flight, thenationals.com.au is where you will find us, and you can get the live stream of it right throughout the afternoon. Let's turn our attention to a bit further north, Townsville. It's a shame that we clash on a supercar weekend because we'd have loved to have been sitting down watching that, but we did see a fair bit of it from here in the media room, and there was some pretty good racing apart from the fact that once Scotty McLaughlin got in front, he was never really headed.
He was in a different league yesterday, I think, and we watched qualifying, and he was on pole by 0.2 seconds, and the next six cars were covered by the same margin. So in supercar world where 22, 24 cars are covered by under a second, that's a big margin, especially at a short circuit like Townsville. It's only 1:10 laps, so it's a short track. He's in a different level. He's really, really good. And once he got past Jamie Wincup, I think on lap two yesterday, he was gone. And aside from the pit stops, didn't lose the lead throughout that race. He's driving really well. And there were some questions at the start of the year about him adapting to DJR Team Penske and the Shell V-Power Fords. He made a couple of mistakes in a few rounds where Fabian Coulthard was a consistent one and accumulated the points. But it's interesting that inter-team battle, which we think is going to be one of the stories of the year, swinging in the favour of Car 17. Scotty's won five races now this year. He's in really good touch. He's not making any mistakes. They're right on the right strategy. He's now leading the championship as well. And he said after the race yesterday, I wish it was November because it would mean he would obviously win it. So, really impressive performance.
Understand.
Just more question marks for Rebel Racing. To be fair, they finished second. Wincup was in contention. The whole day, but they're just lacking that last.
The beginning of the end for
they're lacking the last half a percent that they've had over the field for the last 10 years.
Basically
and they're lacking which is great for us because we've got this amazing battle at the pointy end of the field. So
you can't do
the pressure's on.
Let's talk about that. Is it great for us or is it? Because a lot of people out there are saying it is great, and I'm one of those. I believe that is there's a good change. But what they're also saying is that it's not great for the fact that we've got another.
Need to build on
another car that's dominant or another two cars that are dominant where the Red Bulls were, so it's pretty much the same but different.
Yeah, I don't think they had to do well it is the same but different. But what's not bad about that is that we haven't seen another team at the front consistently.
It's interesting you mention that because
a Red Bull domination win won that championship for PRA.
I got a phone call from
either side of that. They weren't able to consistently have that form.
Would like you to come up and
whereas Triple Eight have over a sustained period of time. So we haven't seen that one team take it up to T8 over an extended period of time like we're seeing now.
And he said, and I want your message.
I don't think it's bad at all. I think it's brilliant. And what I think will be like even better is the response. And
when
Triple Eight get it together and
some
find that half
when
percent
I was presenting those Guernseys,
they'll be right at the front of the field. And we'll have Fabian Coulthard, Scott McLaughlin, Jamie Wincup, Shane Van Gisbergen, and hopefully Craig Lowndes all roaring at it. And then
talent,
potentially just behind them, Chas Lostrom, Mark Winterbottom, and Cam Waters, who were good yesterday, there as well in the Power A cars.
So obviously, yes, I felt that I had
what we want.
A little bit to do with that.
Is DJR Team Penske domination a bad thing at the moment? Absolutely not.
That's
exciting and it's
I had all the adversity.
Yeah, so, as you mentioned, Jamie Wincup second. Great result for Mark Winterbottom, finally getting himself on a podium this year.
Yeah,
final segment's coming. We'll talk about
and all the attention's been on his little teammate, the Super Chief car.
Good drive for Frosty yesterday.
I thought Cam Waters might have been the star.
Peter Knights is my guest on This Is Your Sporting Life.
He's been up and down a bit, had some strong results early in the year. sort of tapered off the last couple of rounds. Winton Barbagello went particularly strong for the Monster Car, but he was great yesterday. Race at the front of the field. But Frosty's opening lap was superb. He battled his way. I think he qualified fifth and was third at the end of the first lap. Some really aggressive moves that we haven't seen from him for a while. So, yeah, good to see the former champ back in front of the field.
Some issues, start of the race, cars turned around, Fabian Coulthard got involved in stuff as well.
The best thing was the reaction after that drama. So Tim Slade was hit from behind and he hit Fabian Coulthard, turned Fabian around, and that's ultimately what cost him the championship lead. So first real bad day of the year for Fabs. Tim Slade rolls into pit lane at BJR. The bonnet's punched up on the front of that car. Gets body slammed. Literally, a guy throws himself from the side of the car onto the bonnet of Slade's car. Look it up. It's on YouTube. It's on the supercar site.
With an elbow drop.
With an elbow drop. Yeah, it was brilliant. It was better than anything that happened at Pacquiao v. Horn a week ago or anything I've seen in the UFC. Yeah, it was brilliant. Look, bad day for Fabian. Really bad day, but you're going to have one of those in the championship competitive. So how they rebound today will be good. But what was interesting is that Fabs had no pace relative to Scott. So he qualified back of the top 10, wasn't fast for practice either. So whatever they're doing on car 17 is not working on car 12.
Let's have a chat about the Nissans. It has been an atrocious year for that make this year.
Yeah, what do they do? Because they've been in this 5 years now, and Nissan Motorsport, Kelly Racing, have got enormous resources. They've got, in theory, really good engineering support. They've got smart people in there. They've got what should be good cars. They've had 5 years to develop that thing, and the parity system should be that that car is now every bit as competitive as the other cars. They continue to underperform, in my opinion. And it just seems like consistently they'll get one car right at one time, and it'll be in the 10, and then the three other cars are P-nowhere. And then the next session will be someone else in the 10 from the 4, but all the other three are back nigh in the back half of the top 15, or bottom 15. So I don't know what they do. They've got to deliver, because I don't care if Nissan are in this for winning championships or not, whether it's the marketing side that they like. And you and I have spoken to Richard Emery, the CEO, and we know that they're not in it to dominate the sport and win championships every year. But surely they're going to be at a point soon where they go, we need to win, or we need serious changes, or we're out.
Consistency would be nice.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, Hidden Valley was the perfect example. Rick Kelly goes and poles it, and then engineered backwards in the race and ends up nowhere. And the next day, absolutely nowhere on the field. So, yeah, it's frustrating to watch, because Rick Kelly's still one of the better drivers in the field. You'd still put him in top 10 drivers on that grid. He's a champion, won Bathurst, won all the big races, but struggling with a car that's clearly not capable of performing consistently.
Yeah, exactly. Really happy for Erebus. They've done a lot of hard yards in the last 4 or 5 years, haven't they?
Yeah.
With the work that they did with Mercedes and the like. They're starting to get some sort of return now with Dave Reynolds.
What's interesting with that, Chebex, is that they're smoking Walkinshaw Racing and bought Walkinshaw Racing.
Yeah.
It's a customer program.
Yeah.
Customer chassis, customer engine. They're doing their own engenereing on it. Scotty Sinclair and Barry Ryan doing a really nice job. And they've destroyed Mobile One Racing Team this year, and Reynolds is going really well. Just re-upped his contract, so he's re-signed with Erebus for another couple of years. I haven't said how long.
Yeah,
we suspect two, probably. And why would you go anywhere else? Because he's best performing of the little teams at the moment, behind the PRA, the Triple Eight, and the DJ Institute
of Victoria. They'll do it all again today, and one would expect we get fairly similar results.
Yeah, I wouldn't put a win for Triple Eight today. Win Cup hasn't won this season, which is amazing.
Yeah.
And the fact that he's only a few points off the championship lead is probably scary for everyone else, because if they get their stuff together, they might not see which way he went the second half of the year. I don't think that'll happen. I think McLaughlin and Fabian will be right there. It wouldn't surprise me if it's a Win Cup win today.
Let's finish off our chat with back at the Red Bull Ring over in Austria, and we spoke Formula One before, so we won't do that, but we're going to talk Super Cup and Matt Campbell, the Aussie boy who won the Carrera Cup last year. He's gone over to Europe and has just been taking everything that's on offer.
It's interesting, isn't it, how there's enormous pride about what this kid's doing. And we're here this weekend at Sydney Motorsport Park. Porsche Motorsport is here this weekend with the Jetty 3 Cup Challenge, as we mentioned before. But there's just this overwhelming feeling of pride from everybody, even people that raced against him, not just in his team or from other teams. But
you feel like you've got a stake in him.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And it's just such a good story. So if you haven't missed the news, he qualified on pole last night for Super Cup at the Red Bull Ring. Did less laps than anybody else in qualifying. Sat out the first 10 minutes of the session. Went out, none of the time, bang, pole by half, 10.5. So he's had three poles from five races so far, yet to win. But, gee, if it's going to happen anywhere, it'll be here at the Red Bull Ring tonight. So about 9 o'clock our time, a bit earlier than that, actually, he'll be racing, which is just awesome. So it's such a good story, Shebex. And you get these Australian kids that go overseas with all this hype, and it's not that they fail to deliver. It's often that they fail to live up to the hype that is generated around them, whether they've generated it or not on their own accord. Matt doesn't generate any hype by doing his own PR. Yeah, he generates it by delivering it. He's done that every single time he's jumped into that race car.
All right, mate, we're going to have a great day up here at the Shannons Nationals today. As we said, thenationals.com.au if you want to catch the live stream. Thank you for joining me.
I should mention Will Power on pole in the IndyCars at Iowa. So, race to do morning.
Of course, we should mention that, especially since they're at Townsville.
Correct.
Yes. A big product of that area. That's it for another episode of On the Grid. We're going to wrap it up here. And after 9 o'clock, George Deakin and Troy Zantuck will take you through on the ultimate wrap. I'll catch you next week. Till then.